Welcome to When They Popped. Let's rewind to a simpler time together and dive deep into the music, movement, and mania behind our favorite Y2K celebrities and trends. Hosted by Kelsey and Mary, it's time for another episode of When They Popped.
Hello, and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary. And you guys, I'm really excited to say happy birthday, happy almost birthday to It's Britney, Bitch.
It's Britney, Bitch.
And we're talking about the iconic album of hers, Blackout. And okay, back to It's Britney, Bitch. Is there more of an iconic spoken intro to a song, like an album in its entirety, than that one simple phrase?
I can confirm, like, that no, there is not.
Yeah, It's Britney, Bitch set the standard, and it's just such an immediately recognizable statement that has become a pop culture staple. I mean, Michael freaking Scott says it in The Office, okay? Like, that's when you know you've made it.
It's Britney, Bitch, and I am back.
Brittober is back, baby, and what a perfect time to celebrate the 16th birthday of Britney's most iconic and critically acclaimed albums of her career, Blackout. This album production and release occurred during this infamous period where Britney was unfairly and devastatingly being harassed and destroyed by the media. I think looking back, we all know how fucked up that was. And how many times do we see headlines now like, oh my God, we owe these Y2K girls an apology because they were just ripped to absolute shreds over nothing. They were just acting like normal girls their age most of the time, just under an absolute microscope. But Britney clearly poured herself into her creative outlet while this was all this turmoil was going on around her. And man, did she give us a gift with Blackout. Britney actually executive produced this album, working with producers like Danja, Bloodshy and Avant, Sean Garrett, and the Neptunes, amongst others. Blackout remains Britney's sole album to be executive produced by her, which is crazy. But this album, I remember that Netflix documentary, I think it was Britney versus Spears, where that paparazzo, Adnan Galib, I believe his name was, that Britney dated for a hot second in 2007, said in his interview that Britney was like scribbling lyrics for this album on a Starbucks napkin. Like, oh, I just think we all collectively gasped when he gave us that little nugget. It's so Britney. But the final result was primarily a dance pop and electro pop record with freaking dubstep influences. Like, can you believe Britney was actually the first pop girly to incorporate dubstep into her music? I'm going to call her Dubstepney. When I tell you the creative genius of this woman is highly underrated, I do stand by that.
Criminally underrated.
Thank you, Kelsey. So the lyrics for the tracks on Blackout, they address, you know, love, heartbreak, a certain divorce with a certain somebody. We get fame, the media scrutiny, sex, and just hitting the frickin' town. Obviously, in true fashion, the critics were critiquing. They were critical of this album upon its release. However, as we always say, fuck the critics. And thankfully, in retrospect, Blackout has been cited as a career highlight for B and has been praised for its significant impact on the ensuing 2010s decade of pop music. Specifically being credited for bringing the electric pop and avant disco genres to mainstream prominence. She did that, people. Referred to as the Bible of Pop due to its influence, Blackout is a super cohesive album that is actually considered one of the best albums of all time by multiple publications. On October 6, Jive announced that the album will be titled Blackout, referring to quote-unquote blacking out negativity and embracing life fully. Its album cover and booklet images were photographed by Ellen Von Unworth, and it featured Britney with that long black hair, her pink dress, and that white fedora. There's some very controversial centerfold photographs for Blackout, where we see Britney and a priest posing suggestively inside a confessional. Obviously, these types of photographs did not land well with the critics, the Catholic League, what have you, but many commentators have noted that it was very reminiscent of Madonna's Like a Prayer imagery. Shockingly and criminally, numbers-wise, Blackout produced Britney's lowest album sales yet, selling roughly half the copies as her previous full-length release, In the Zone, in its first week. Blackout also became the first in Britney's discography to not debut at number one on the Billboard charts. It's worth noting, however, that a last-minute rule change with the Billboard charts was likely what contributed to this. The album was also leaking like crazy on Perez Hilton and the likes, so maybe that also played a role as well.
I was going to say that's so insane that it didn't perform that well, because I feel like I know every single song on this album, not just the singles.
Exactly. Like, this is one of those albums.
I remember when this album first came out and everyone was like poo-pooing it, but there would be no Kesha like without this album, like the whole like Cobra Starship movement. Like, I don't think any of that would have happened the way it did if it weren't for Blackout.
The reach of this album is so far, farther than we may even think. And as I said, it finally got its recognition. Blackout eventually landed on Billboard's 2020 list of their top 500 albums of all time. Well, 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 better late than never. But anyhow,
before we dive into our episode, it's your favorite time, our disclaimer, to say that we do not own or claim to own the rights to the songs or performances in this episode. And the purpose of these clips is for commentary and critique and fangirling.
Okay, so we promised you another guest this week, and this week we have none other than Jessie Chambliss, host of a personal favorite podcast of mine, Jessie's Girls. I discovered Jessie many moons ago while listening to Troy's Dunzo podcast. Jessie was always my favorite guest with Troy. They're hysterical together, have incredible chemistry, and are both just wealths of knowledge when it comes to all my favorite girlies and pop culture in general. Not only is the title of his podcast, Jessie's Girls, iconic AF, but Jessie became my new parasocial bestie as he took me on an incredible 9-episode, hilarious, and meticulously researched journey on Hilary Duff, 10 on Lindsay Lohan, each episode more fun than the next. Also, Jessie is a viral TikTok sensation. Seriously, follow him at Chambreezy. And he always has the most hysterical takes on current events. I never get over that I have been able to go from a fan from someone else's podcast to having them on my own show. So, Jessie, thank you for indulging me, us, and welcome to our Brittober episode celebrating the legendary Miss Britney Spears Blackout era.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've listened to your show. And I don't just say that to lie. And hearing you introduce other people, great. But whenever you are introducing me, I'm like, wow, it really does make you feel special.
You are special.
And yes, I am. Definitely special. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that introduction. I'm so excited to be here. Your show is like really popping off. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, popping off. And I know I DM'd your account, but oh my God, your episode about Britney's backup singer and just like everything that she was able to speak about the industry and her personal experiences. I will give you none of that for those of you listening, but I am gay and fun, and I hope that that means something for my pop culture knowledge.
Oh, hell yes.
Everything, Jessie. And we're so happy to have you on the pod. Speaking of Britney, I mean, this episode is especially timely because this week we've seen so many excerpts from Britney's book released. As of this recording, the book is not out yet. But we have read some of these bombshells from the book. We also heard some other revelations, like the meaning behind the Every Time music video. And Jessie, before we dive into Blackout, we just wanted to get your thoughts on all of the news that's swirling around right now, because there's a lot.
It's overwhelming, to be honest with you. I think that people were scared that this book was not going to deliver. And, you know, there's a lot of lore around Britney Spears already. And then for these excerpts to be released, which are so smartly timed, and I think giving us a glimpse into what this book is going to be, and it's certainly not going to be boring. It's definitely not just going to be like a stream of consciousness. Like, she has things to say, and, you know, that's becoming abundantly clear with each new glimpse that we get into the book.
So, Jessie, I basically like ran to Justin's comment section just for, you know, a little temperature check. Just wanted to see what was brewing over there. Well, everything I saw was pretty harsh, for lack of a better word. What do you think about the reaction that Justin has been getting right now?
It's really hard to gauge how I feel based on how the masses are reacting, because we're very fickle. I have, like many people, been side-eyeing Justin for a while. The more that I've learned about him. It doesn't matter if Janet Jackson has forgiven him. It doesn't mean that we have to forget, you know, like his role in exploiting her as a woman, as a Black woman, as a woman that was older than him in the industry too. And in, you know, an industry of rampant ageism. And so I've been side-eyeing this man for a while. And it just got to a point where, you know, what he was putting out into the world wasn't good enough to sort of like outweigh the shit that he's done. And so I'm not surprised that people are kind of outraged. I think the thing that really struck me is the statement that he and Jessica released about how they are like just wanting privacy and they want to move on and not talk about things from the past. But in his flop memoir, he was quick to bring up Britney several times. And so that was just in 2018, I believe. And so for him to make a statement like that is really tone deaf. And I think that he could have done a million different things and people probably would have felt the same way, but for him to double down and act a certain way when he hasn't done the exact same thing publicly on record several times is pretty gross.
I play devil's advocate sometimes, you know, they were both so young and I hate to think of some of the dumb shit I did back then. And if I were on a public platform, like how terrible that would have been. But at the same time, like what you said with the statement, it's like, doesn't Britney get to finally speak after 20 years? I just really would love if Britney was allowed to have this moment and tell her version of her life.
Exactly. And imagine if he would have just said, like, this was a long time ago, et cetera, but I want Britney to be able to tell her own story. He really could have changed the narrative there. And even if people still responded a certain way, it could have been, you know, stated that like he responded in this way as opposed to doubling down.
Mm-hmm. It's like he avoided it instead of owning any accountability, which I think people really respond when someone just says, I own what I've done in the past, you know, but I'd like to move on. I don't know. I feel like just some sort of admission, some acknowledgement.
And I think like being really young, there's a little bit of grace there that could have been had, you know, like we're young, we're making decisions. There are a lot of people influencing both of us. And I think if he could have even acknowledged that he was caught up in some of the same things that Britney was caught up in and like other people making decisions for him, especially with what we know about like Lou Pearlman and how NSYNC was controlled. And he really missed an opportunity there to humanize the situation.
That is such a great perspective. I'm in PR, so I'm like eating all this up and like dissecting it and trying to understand who gave him this advice.
Yeah.
Because I have needs a calm degree. Them.
Yeah. And I'm like, why am I not doing this for someone?
Jesse, I think we have our next client. Y2K celebrities in distress. So the next thing that we wanted to ask you about before we dive into the episode is, you know, People Magazine got this exclusive interview with Britney. I'm sure you've read the article and seen the beach on Tahiti photo shoot. But Mary and I were just discussing how peculiar we thought it was that the interview was all done over email. And that sort of like has our tinfoil hats on, like who's responding? Do you have any thoughts on that? Or are we just crazy conspiracy theorists?
No, you would be a crazy conspiracy theorist if you claimed that she was like an alien robot AI. I definitely think that it is okay to have healthy skepticism around a mysterious figure like Britney Spears with everything that we have learned over the past few years. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think whenever you try to have like a savior complex and you're a true crime person who really wants to break the news and be the podcast that solves a mystery that's been, you know, dark for 30 years or whatever, sick. That's not what you're doing, okay? I have a lot of odd opinions, clearly.
It's okay.
But that's not what you're doing. I think that there are things that don't make sense, especially when we don't know what's going on. And, you know, for Britney not to, like, come out and do, like, a live interview or something, not that she owes us anything, but for people to have assurance, not for her to give us assurance, for people to gain assurance from that, it makes every calculated thing feel very suspicious. And because of everything surrounding Britney, like everything becomes fishier. Everything is under a microscope. But I think for good reason to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. When I saw that it was an email interview, I rolled my eyes and I was like, of course it was. And this is just going to be fuel for the fire. But, you know, we see Britney out doing things on occasion. We saw the pictures with like J Balvin and Maluma, and like she is around But it doesn't really like help the mystery circumstances surrounding her whenever we get an email interview.
Very well put. I always say that Team Khan did this to me. They made me this way, and I wasn't this way until I learned that we had been deceived for X amount of years. And so I blame them for that.
Yes. Yeah. But when you start like finding yourself having more in common with flat earthers than not, then you start to reevaluate. Oh, boy. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Mary, any other questions, or Jesse, any other thoughts before we dive into Blackout?
No, I'll be Pandora's box and you'll just keep me going and talking for 5 hours and you'll be like, we haven't even talked about the album. So no, let's move in.
I love it. Let's do it. Here we go. So one thing about us, we love an icebreaker. So let me break the ice. With a scorching hot round of Fuck, Marry, Kill. So we did this when we had Troy on too, and this was like so much fun. I'm going to give you three songs from Blackout. You have to tell me which one would you F, Marry, Kill, and then we'll talk about all the songs after. Okay, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so right off the bat, we're going to hit up some of the major singles from this album. Would you Fuck, Marry, Kill, Give Me More? Feels like I'm proud of saying, give me more. Piece of Me. Or Radar.
Okay, Kill, Radar.
Oh, the bat! Man, that was like immediate.
Yes, Kill, Radar, because it's fine. But like the material on this album is so like top tier that Radar is like, it's Kill. And I was ready and I knew. I think I'm going to Fuck, Give Me More. Because it's so hot and it's like beckoning me to have sex with it. And then Piece of Me, I'm going to Marry because it is like the quintessential like Britney attitude that she's always had.
Wow. You made that seem so easy. We would like agonize over these like hypotheticals. Wow.
I knew this was coming. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go, but I knew I was going to be grilled about this song. So I'm ready. Keep it coming.
I love the decisiveness. So let's talk about Give Me More since you want to have sex with this song, because don't we all? So obviously this one was a huge hit for Britney. It peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was her highest peaking single since Baby One More Time in 1998, which... Criminal.
Yes. Another Britney song, yes.
Yep.
It reached the top 10 in 16 countries. Did you know she was pregnant when she recorded this song, Jesse?
I think I've heard that, but it always is a shock to remember that, right?
Right. Like, it's so hot and sexy. I love that she didn't feel like she needed to, like, tone it down just because she was a mother. So this song was also one of the first solo productions by Danja, who, anyone who's listening, if you don't know, previously worked alongside Timbaland. And this song was co-written by Danja and Carrie Hilson, who some of you guys may remember from The Way I Are.
And Pretty Girl Rock.
And Pretty Girl Rock. Oh my God, you're so right, Mary. How could I forget Pretty Girl Rock?
So the music video was directed by Jake Sarfati, who was handpicked by Britney. And apparently the concept was Britney's vision. But despite this, we got some tea from a makeup artist on set. Britney apparently was sabotaging the director left and right, which is so classic Britney at this time. She was not big on doing what she was told, following the script, that type of thing. Am I right, Jesse?
Yeah, 1,000%. We'll talk about that in a different music video as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh, I can't wait. And I want to know what you guys think about this video. A little underwhelming. The song is everything, so the video should match that, in my opinion. Like, I appreciate it more with time, but again, I'm a little let down with one of her most iconic songs ever. This is what we got.
I agree. I hate to say this, and I've been... oh my God, vilified for this before, but it's giving low budget.
It's
giving totally. Like found footage. You know what I mean? Like Blair Witch Project, but like with strippers. And
it
like,
is. Oh my God, that's so funny.
It is. You know what? And I'm just going to stand by that opinion because y'all can suck it if you don't like it. I love this song and I agree. I was wanting something a little bit more. And I think like it could have been executed in like a gritty way, but like just with like a little more production value.
Give us more, basically. right.
Yes.
So I want to talk about her 2007 VMAs performance where she sang this song. If you're looking for trouble, can you be like this? If you're looking for trouble, look right in my face. I know, I don't mean to start on like a bad note, but this was supposed to be her comeback after all of the issues that she'd been going through. And to say that, you know, some people felt like it fell flat would be like a huge understatement. People were shaming her body. She was wearing this two-piece like crystal encrusted bikini. I mean, the microphone wasn't on. You can fight me on this, but not a peep was coming out of that microphone. And a lot of people were criticizing her lack of energy. And I mean, the criticism was just so overwhelming that just days later, that's when we got Kara Cunningham, who was then known as Chris Crocker, upload this now iconic video called Leave Britney Alone.
Leave Britney alone! Please!
So, Jesse, I want to hear your thoughts on this performance.
So I saw the performance after the public airing. I did watch it when I was that age, but I didn't see it live. And I remember being very confused. But as I have grown and like thought about this performance, even back then, even though I was probably part of like really toxic like body culture, you know, whether I was like active or passive about it, I didn't think that she looked bad at all. Like, not at all. Even in my teen boy brain, I was like, I don't really get why they're saying. I get that they were like talking about her performance and everything, but I thought that she looked really hot. I actually like really love that bikini, and I actually liked her hair too. Those Jessica Simpson extensions that she had in.
And it was like kind of stringy, but like in a hot way.
Yeah, because like Britney can make grimy really sexy still, and so I was like not really concerned about the appearance of her. I hated that people were laughing at her because I love Britney. I've always loved Britney. Like, I'm one of the had every album, know every word to every album kind of fans, you know what I mean? So it was really disheartening, and I knew that something was wrong.
I had a similar reaction, and I don't know if you've read this book, Jesse, the Steve Dennis book, Britney Inside the Dream.
No.
I learned about it from the Eat, Pray, Britney girls, and there's an entire chapter that like dissects what happened this night and led up to this performance, like hour by hour, what happened with the hair, the costume change, Chris Angel supposed to being there, like when she went out with P. Diddy the night before, like what happened. 100% must read, very illuminating. But like you said, rewatching it now, first of all, I feel like it's a lot more than a lot of girlies are giving currently. First of all, like, and I feel like we were comparing Britney to like 2000, 2001, her VMA performances then. So that was very different from then. And so it just brought out this reaction from the public. She doesn't seem right. And they were showing all those like perfectly cut like MTV celeb reactions of people like wincing and kind of like looking around like what's going on. And it just, it was just right in line with that narrative that like, you know, old Britney is gone. It was really sad.
Yeah. And it was Britney in her like soft choreo era, which Britney doing an impersonation of all of the girls who did an impersonation of Britney and didn't do it well. That's like kind of what was happening. So it was very meta even in a way. But, you know, to see that because we had such a high expectation of how she would typically perform definitely like was a red flag. But still, like you said, it was giving a little bit more than like Dua Lipa at the beginning of her career. You know what I mean?
He said it's true.
She was doing a little corkscrew. I mean, my TikTok was very much in the beginning about this like soft choreo notion. So I think about that a lot. And yes, I will claim that I'm the first person to use that term in that way. So it's definitely soft choreo Britney, which we don't love to see.
We're used to more and her throwing herself into every performance, but it is what it is. Okay, can we move on to your Mary, your piece of me, your lover for
your
life?
Your spouse.
Yes, my life
this
partner.
This is one of my personal favorites from the album, too, so I'm really glad you picked this one. Mary has a lot of strong feelings about it, too, so Mary.
Of course. I mean, no wonder Taylor Swift quotes this song, Another Day, Another Drama. Another day, another drama. And look what you made me do. Another day, another drama, drama. And how about that line, like, with a kid on my arm, I'm still an exceptional earner. And with a kid on my arm, I'm I'm still an exception. Like, yes, you are, bitch. Know your worth.
Period.
I love period. The end. Like, Piece of Me remains like this template for every pop girl who decides it's time to wreck her evil vengeance on a world that made the fatal mistake of pissing her off. And this song was written by Bloodshy and Avant. And honestly, perfection for what Britney was going through at this exact time. Like, I honestly can't believe that Britney wasn't a writer on this song. And I read an article where Bloodshy and Avant, they're a production duo composed of two Swedes, Christian Carlson and Pontus Weinberg. And maybe it makes sense that why we get a hit of that Max Martin Swedish sound on this album. It's because the Swedes have their hands all over it. But they wrote this song based on an experience that they had when they witnessed Britney trying to meet them in the studio. And she literally was getting mobbed left and right and couldn't like get from point A to point B. And so I guess it makes sense how they were able to capture what she was going through so accurately.
Yeah.
Jesse, what do you love about this song? What made you want to marry it?
So aside from the sort of topical, you know, subject matter that we have here, have you ever just actually like sat and listened to the production? It is weird. It's weird as fuck. And I think that people who are critics of pop music, especially back then when we still had a lot of this like maximalist production, they don't understand how intricate and how strange it is. Prime example is if you listen to a lot of the album cuts of a lot of the Disney girlies who came after Britney and like Hillary and all that kind of stuff, and they were in their like pop eras, a lot of those album tracks are weird. And a lot of Britney's album tracks are weird, and they're like pulling from that as inspiration. And I just love how strange and hypnotic that the production sounds in this song. It makes me uncomfortable, actually, if you like listen to the stems of it and hear the individual noises, because I'm like, how did they generate that noise? Yeah, really. Did they have someone come in and go,
literally, you know, I think that's what they did.
But like, that makes it incredible, because I'm like, you know what? They found those noises somehow. I don't want to know how, but they did.
Do you want to know what's weird, Jesse? I read that Robin, like the Robin, sang backup vocals on this song. So like I'm imagining her like making weird noises.
Yeah, she did. And thank you for reminding me about that, because I always like to point out that without Robin, we wouldn't have Britney. Robin was Max Martin's like muse, and you know, her teen pop album in the mid-90s, she was poised to be this like Swedish like US transplant and give us like pop star teen pop. And then she had her one album and like a lot of success, frankly, and then she was like, no thank you. And they needed that formula to work again, and then Britney like obviously took it to the next level. So it was such a full circle moment for Robin to be a part of this album in some sort of way.
I love that it's Weirdney. That's what I had in my notes. This is Weirdney at its core, but it works. It's still like mainstream, which is what's kind of like incredible about it.
Yeah, and this album did a lot of that too. They pulled from trends that were so underground, and America doesn't like value and love dance music like the rest of the world does. And so for this to like have a popular mainstream moment and really like usher in a whole era of dance pop that would come afterwards, you know, I thought that was really cool.
Oh,
as Britney would say, really cool.
Really cool.
Really cool. Let's talk about the music video. This is a Wayne Isham music video. We love Wayne on the pod. And obviously, it's heavily inspired by the lyrics of the song, which is all about Britney's experience being antagonized, dragged by the toxic media. We see Britney and her friends dressing in costume, those cute little bob wigs, trying to go have fun in the club, undercover and undiscovered. So I remember hearing somewhere that really iconic bathroom choreography that Britney like did that herself, like right before they filmed or something. I also remember seeing rumors that her head was superimposed on another dancer's body, like jib jab style. There's like a whole deep Reddit thread on this. But it's like anything she tried to do during this period was just so scrutinized that if she looked bad, she was too fat. If she looked too good, people accused her of superimposing her head on someone else's body. Like there was nothing she could do, right? But what's cool about this video is it won her her first MTV VMA for Best Pop Video, Female Video, and Video of the Year. So like, hello, it was obviously a success. It got people talking. Jesse, I want to hear all your takes.
First of all, fuck MTV. For this to be her first
VMA,
criminal.
The VMAs were, I mean, Britney was the VMAs, you know, like they were such a symbiotic thing because she gave us some of the best, not only just VMA performances and moments, some of the best live performance moments in history. She like broke the internet before the internet, you know what I mean? Mm. And for that to be her first VMA is like pretty gross because it's just like shows how, you know, exploitative that the industry is and how like how much MTV relied on Britney. But this might be an unpopular opinion, but I actually really liked the music video. I really liked how in the bathroom scenes, whenever they were dancing, it wasn't fully choreographed and maybe it seemed like they weren't all together, but they were really trying to emulate what it's like to be in the club with your friends and maybe you're a little drunk and maybe you're a little sloppy and you're having a good time and you're not super concerned about, you know, looking your best in the moment. You're just having fun. And that kind of felt like the vibe that they were going for. And so it actually felt a little more authentic to me, to be honest with you.
I loved it. I loved that her hair was in a bun. Like, I'm the girl that's always going to put my hair up in a bun, like, when it's not supposed to. Yes. And, like, I read that Wayne was like, put it down. Like, they were, like, fighting her to put her hair down. And do you know that one rogue girl in that scene that does not know the – do you know the girl I'm talking about that doesn't know the choreo at all? And she's like – two beats behind everyone else. But like that goes to kind of the magic of it. It's like, you know, I love it too. I really love this music video.
Wait, we didn't talk about Radar yet. Your kill. Oh my God, I'm so dumb. Jesse, you wanted to kill Radar. So I'm like, well, no, let's fucking kill Radar. Okay.
Literally.
We still have to talk about it though, because I personally think I Get the Tingle, I Want to Mingle is like the best lyric of all time. Like, I know you want to kill it, but I just feel like we have to acknowledge that place in pop history. I get the tingle, I want to mingle, that's what I want. What's also interesting about this song is they started recording it the day after Britney filed for divorce from K-Fed. So like, kind of cool that she was back doing her thing. We're reminded of her work ethic during the hardest days of her life. And I read that this was going to be a single, but then it was canceled because Britney already started working on Circus, which it's also kind of a mindfuck because Radar was also on Circus. So, like, we got it twice. And it's kind of interesting that you want to kill a song that she literally thought was good enough to be on two albums. So once Radar came out on Circus, it re-entered the charts. So it did, like, pretty well. Because Radar came back and charted when Circus came out, it marked the first time that five songs from one of Britney's albums entered the chart at the same time. So we may hate the song, but it helped our girl reach a professional milestone. So for that, we're grateful.
Jesse, I need to know, because I have similar feelings, but why do you want to murder Radar?
I don't. Why do you want to absolutely slaughter Radar?
I agree. I'm not judging, but I want to hear your take.
I think for me, whenever like everything else is so good on the album, it just like isn't as good as everything else. And that's really just it. You know, like I just don't really listen to it as much as the other songs when I revisit this album, which is frequently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Radar, I skip it sometimes. And I know, I feel like people are going to come for me for this. And even I didn't like the video that they chose during the Circus era for it either. So.
I did not like that video either. Radar Horse for me was like the only highlight. He has an Instagram account and 1,300 followers, and he is an icon in his own right, just like Banana the Snake. I don't know. I feel like people who don't know this fandom and hear us talking about Radar Horse will think we are like DeLulu, but like he is a beloved king in the fandom. I just also read, however, that he is since passed. So RIP Radar Horse.
So rewatching this music video, I just like missed it when it came out. I don't know. I was not paying attention. But it reminds me of Blank Space. Like when they're pulling up to like the big mansion. I don't know. It gave me those vibes. I did read that this was really inspired by Madonna's music video, Take a Bow. And Dave Myers, the director, also worked with Britney on Lucky Boys, Outrageous. And he was trying, this is what outrageous. He said, and I think it's like low-key shade. He goes, I wanted to take her into a contemporary, classy environment. Like, he was basically calling everything else she did during the blackout period trashy, I think.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I took it as like a little bit of shade.
Well, he can suck a toe.
I feel like all men should suck my toe.
Suck my toe.
I'm with you. It's not my favorite.
Oh, God. You also brought up Outrageous, and now I'm triggered. Outrageous when I'm on my body. But it's fine.
Same. I just think of, like, knees cracking.
Oh, God. Do you know the Outrageous story, Kels?
No, tell me.
She was shooting it, and Snoop Dogg was going to be in it, and she, like, hurt her knee while they were shooting a dance scene in New York, and didn't that just, like, start a whole, like, bad trajectory?
Yeah, the knee thing really, like, fucked her up, and it just, like, she's had multiple, like, surgeries, and she's had some issues, and I really feel like that was the start.
And so then we never got the Outrageous video. And so I get, like, triggered because I would have loved the Outrageous video. But okay.
Where she licks Snoop Dogg. Yeah,
yes.
Sorry.
We never got that footage. Okay.
So. Okay. Mary, you're in the hot seat now, girl. Fuck, Mary, kill. Perfect lover. Break the ice. Ooh, ooh, baby.
My three
Jesse
favorite.
Jesse, give me a massive eye roll on that.
I'm so jealous.
No, you're going to answer too. We're both going to give our answers for this.
Wait,
one.
Wait, yeah, Jesse, think about yours too, because I want to compare.
We're
going to
compare.
Okay, okay.
Okay, Jesse, do you know yours?
Yes, I do.
He's so decisive. I love it. Jesse, you go first.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm like dominating this. Okay. I am going to fuck Perfect Lover. I'm going to marry Break the Ice. And I will reluctantly kill Ooh Ooh Baby. I'm not as excited about this murder. Yeah. I was like, oh no.
No, it's not a murder.
Self-defense.
Yeah, it's a self-defense crime. Accident. Or
manslaughter. Yeah.
Mary's a lawyer, so she could tell us.
This was an accident, Your Honor. But okay. So
would you marry Break the Ice also, Mary?
I want to be different from Jesse to, like, further conversation and debate, but I don't think I can be. Because Perfect Lover is such a sexy song. Of course, that's the song you want to fuck. And Break the Ice is a bop, so would like to marry that to be my life partner. And then Ooh Ooh Baby, I love, but just not as much as the other two, I think.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same page. So let's talk about your shared spouse.
Throuple. Okay.
There's a throuple. So Radar was supposed to be the next single off of Breakout, but they did like a poll on Britney's website and Break the Ice won. So everyone agrees with you that fuck Radar. Off with its head. So Mary, I want to hear your thoughts on why you want to marry it.
It's the dark tones. This is like a sultry, darker vibe, I think, that we've gotten from Britney before. That intro with, like, it's been a while. I'm sorry I kept you waiting, but I'm here now. It's been a while. I know I shouldn't have kept you waiting, but I'm here now. It's like her literally speaking to us. That's how I interpret it. And I also like when she's like, I like this part.
I like this part.
Like, all the Britney-isms in this song are what make it. For me, it's peak Blackout, and I just don't think it got the public recognition that it deserved.
I agree. And, like, what I would add here is the studio sessions where she's, like, literally crunching on ice because she's always chewing ice and, like, chewing gum and stuff like that and doing terrible things for her teeth. I love that. And the snippets from the studio where she's like, ice, right, ice. Oh my God.
I love
it. Iconic. I love it. I love it. It's such a good song, and it's like an enduring pop song that doesn't really age. Just like marriage, you know, you're supposed to like love the person, you know.
Till death do us part, baby.
Till your untimely deaths.
Well, some unfortunate news. This song didn't do so hot in the charts. It only reached 43 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah.
But it did snag the number one spot on the dance clubs chart. And like, those are the fun people that we want to hang out with anyways.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Also, fun fact about this song. This was like another collab with Danger. And Britney started recording this when she was 7 months pregnant with Jaden James. And she finished it just 3 weeks after she gave birth. Like, holy shit. 3 weeks? It's literally insane. I also want to get your thoughts on the music video because I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that it was like anime. So, Jesse, I hear you sighing. Tell me your thoughts.
So, something you know about me is that I'm really good at hiding my feelings. There's a multitude of reasons why you would want to do something like this. You don't have to film. It's cheaper, whatever. But it was a disappointment again because, like, imagine the video choreography that we could have gotten to this song because it was so dancey. It's like so much dancier than Give Me More and Piece of Me. I just imagine it would have gone so hard. And we got like choreo for it, you know, during the residency, which was pretty good, honestly. Like I liked the choreography during her residency for this, but I could imagine it being like an icy sort of like cave you know, type of thing. And then like her dancing like heats it up.
It's funny you mentioned that because I read that they had a concept for a music video and it was supposedly with a chair dancing sequence similar to Stronger. But because of her personal life struggles, quote, aka Britney said that this year was worse than jail, in her own words. That was from the People article that just came out this week. So they canceled it. And then Britney came up with the idea to make it all animated, which is kind of interesting.
The sky was the limit with the potential from this song and the video. I kind of wondered if this was her kind of like putting her foot down against her team. You know, yes. I don't know. Yeah.
Understandably so. So I'm not, whenever I'm like, oh, I wish this would happen, yeah. I'm not being like, this should have happened. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I really do get it. I'm just being selfish because I can be.
I completely understand. It's just, I'm like you. I'm glad she was able to assert some kind of control in this arena, but like,
yeah, great perspective.
Oh my God. Let us get a video for this, but that's just me.
All right. No. I want to talk about the one that you guys wanted to kill. Ooh, ooh, baby.
I don't want to. I want it accidentally.
Begrudgingly murdered. Manslaughter.
Yes.
Vehicular manslaughter.
I like hit it with my car by accident.
This is a favorite of mine on the album. I believe besides Freak Show, this is the only other track on the album that Britney has writing credits. She writes with Cara DiGuardi on this one. The intro has that flamenco guitar. We get a sample from the Turtles' Happy Together, which I never recognized until researching for this episode.
Right.
I don't know. I think the song is like a catchy pop song, but I feel like the tenor of this album is so gritty, and this is just a total pivot, and it kind of doesn't fit into the cohesiveness of the tracks. That's my only thought. I feel like I could hear it on Circus more. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, like 1000%. This would have fit perfectly on Circus. And I think that's just kind of what it boils down to. It just wasn't as cohesive as the other songs, but I still enjoy it as a song. Like, I still think it's really fun, but yeah, it just wasn't in line with the rest.
And I also just read this, that Kara gave a quote. She was inspired by the relationship between Britney and Sean Preston, like as the inspiration for the song. And she said, quote, I would look at the two of them, the way they looked at each other and the way she would hold the baby. It kind of struck me as interesting. At times it'd be about a kid, at times about a lover. So that kind of sends it into a weird orbit for me, but I'm just going to choose to not incorporate Sean Preston into this song.
I can feel you on my lips. I can feel you deep inside. That's what I think about when I think about children.
Like, what the hell kind of quote is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Kelsey's like, I'm not touching that one.
She's in PR. She's not going to say anything on the record. Okay, now I want to flip it back on you guys. Tell me why Perfect Lover is your perfect lover.
Pull up to my bumper. Need a jump, not a chump. Fill me up, I'm running low.
I literally have that written in my notes.
Like, can I be like really explicit here?
Yes.
Come inside me is literally what she's saying.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, if you like that, then you'll love this song.
Whom amongst us
doesn't love to just, yeah. No, I mean, really. Hello, that line and the way that she just delivers. She's kind of rapping.
She is. It's like very like sexy, smooth. It's almost like spoken.
Yeah. Like Britney's got bars. You know what I mean? Like this was her 8 Mile.
Was it this one she wanted to be a little more urban or was that in the zone?
She said that a few different times. Definitely in the zone. But I think that was like still an enduring theme here.
Yes. Oh, God, I love her.
So I'm thinking if we can quickly move into some of the other tracks that you neither fuck, married, nor killed, so that they get their moment in the sun, too.
Yeah, we're just friends.
Yeah, these are just your friends with benefits on the side.
And it's some of these other tracks, non-singles, that we haven't talked about yet that are like What Give Me Life. Next up on the track list, we have Heaven on Earth. And Jesse, I would love to get your thoughts on this because I have a really, really unpopular opinion. It's just not my favorite. I know it's a really complex song. There's a ton of different beats, layered vocals from Britney. And I know Cara DioGuardi was a producer, I believe, on this track as well.
I like this track, but there's, I think, like a huge part of the fandom that this is their favorite track on the album. That is not me. Perfect Lover is actually tied for a top track with another song that I will talk about in a moment because we haven't discussed it yet. So yes, it's Perfect Lover and another song for me. I love Heaven on Earth. I think it's a great song, but it's not my top.
It's very like ethereal. Like her voice is angelic. It's pretty.
Especially at the end. Yeah.
Yes. And there's just like chanting like your breath, your face.
Your breath.
But it's just, I don't know.
It's kind of witchy at the end.
Yeah.
It feels like a spell is being cast.
What have I been saying?
Hello. Okay. Well, I need to move on to one that I like much, 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 much more and is one of my favorites. Let's talk about Get Naked. A Danger production. This is an up-tempo track on the album about, whoa, you guessed it, getting naked, sex. Let's talk about it. I love how Danger sings in this, like, the chorus with his creepy Halloween voice. It's, like, distorted to sound like a moan almost. Very spooky, but I like it. And then we get all of Britney's iconic, like, gasps and sighs and, like, get naked and take it off, chants, witchy again. But it's like classic Britney contributions. Like her breathing on the tracks are legit iconic. But yes, just like that. But the whole tone of the song is just so unique. Nothing we've ever heard before in 2007.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the same page. It is spooky. It is sexy. It is weird. I'm like taking my panties off, but I'm a little bit scared, like that the masked killer is gonna come in, but like maybe he'll also give me a massage. And I'm in like a campground in the barracks and the electricity went out, but I'm horny, you know what I mean?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, but you're gonna massacre me with your hot bod.
I love that. Yes.
So that's how I feel about this song, if that makes any sense.
So it makes so much sense.
I love your like deadpan humor, and I am really enjoying it tonight.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, let's move on to another favorite of mine, Freak Show.
Make it a freak show. Freak show. We can give them a freak show. Freak show.
This is the second of the two tracks that Britney is a credited writer on, and Bloodshy and Avant are a dynamic duo who produced and wrote on this as well. Here we are introduced to dubstep knee. Like, oh my gosh, Freak Show is built around this wobbler effect. There are these beat and tempo changes. It's ahead of its time in pop music. Obviously, Britney has some great lyrics and little like quips in this song. I noticed her vocals are pitched down super low. It's just like very unique for 2007. I like when she's like, me and my girls got to get it on, grab it a couple of boys to go. What's your favorite line?
I like when they, what do they say? Let's turn this shit up. That yes! part? Are they saying shit? Yeah, I like that little like pre-chorus part the most, I think. It's all about me and you. You know,
the doing that we do. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love that part of the song. I agree. I think this is another like weird, this makes me feel like I'm going into like a house of mirrors at
yes,
a carnival.
A fun house.
Yeah, fun house. And there's like nefarious characters kind of running around, but I'm intrigued about what they're doing. And yeah. So I join in. Is it an orgy? I don't know, but something's happening.
We'll find out.
I literally think of a clown orgy and like I'm scared.
A clown.
And everyone's like smoking and like their makeup is like slowly like melting off their face.
It's like Lemony Snicket, but for adults.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah.
You guys need to make the video for this. Oh my goodness.
Okay, let's do it. Released only on OnlyFans.
Yes.
Only on Patreon.
Okay, so this is, yeah, another spooky kind of dark vibe. Love it. Moving right along, we get another bop. Smash on the radio, bet I penned it.
Yeah, smash on the radio, bet I penned it.
Pretty iconic intro there with Toy Soldier. And again, our dynamic Swedish duo, Bloodshy and Avant, they're at it again. Brittany's telling us here that she's sick of these toy soldiers, aka dumbass guys, and she needs a soldier, aka a real ass man, aka anyone but K-Fed. I love how she's kind of tongue in cheek, like, sick of toy soldiers. So damn glad that's over.
I'm so damn glad that's over.
It's the ultimate AM away message right there.
Ooh.
No, you're so right. I love that. I heard in the bridge a lot. Like the way that she says it. I think it is. Oh my God. Now you're making me feel like a bad fan. I don't know. But
no,
I always thought it was her. I always thought it was her. And she was just like, I love that.
Yes. Yeah. It's so weird. I love it. Weird me.
I agree. I think this song is like a big kiss off and mm-hmm. I think it's really fun. Once again, like very unexpected for Britney and the production is just like out of this world. It like feels very alien, like you've been transported to a different place and you're on this like intergalactic like rave or something like that. You know what I mean?
Xenon said, turns 21.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Xenon. Oh my God, Xenon's a rager.
Okay, moving on. Jesse, have we gotten to your other favorite song yet? I just wanted to make sure we haven't missed it.
You haven't.
Ooh, okay, okay. So we're going to move right on to Hot as Ice.
Because I'm cold as fire.
AKA Cold as Fire to those of us who heard the leaked version. In this song, we get Britney in her higher register. This is not her typical like lower range. My favorite part of this is like, live in legend, you can look but don't touch.
Live in legend, you can look but don't touch.
Like one of my favorite times is when Britney acknowledges how iconic she is and like recognizes. She's such a humble queen. She like rarely expresses that. And we get that in this song and I freaking love it. Jesse, what do you think?
This one's like gospel inspired and like T-Pain, you know, like writing it. And I actually saw T-Pain live, you know, years ago and he wasn't using auto-tune and he was just like singing and he was so talented. And like now, like after seeing him live, everything that he's written and everything that he's recorded just like I think makes so much more sense for me. And so I think it made me fall more in love with this song actually throughout the years, just like seeing T-Pain sing live. And I think it's such a bop.
Also, he was super positive on Britney, which I love. You know, it was very in vogue to like trash Britney at that time. And he had just like nothing but praises to sing about her, her creativity, work ethic. So I agree completely. I also made a note, is she singing in a Southern accent in this song? Or am I like, is it just like weird knee vibes?
I hear what you're hearing. Like, I think it is like a little more Southern gospel.
Okay, that's what you were saying with gospel.
Yeah.
Like, she definitely has some sort of like a twang or something, which I love.
I like this one too. It's not my fave, but I agree, Mary, that she finally is giving herself like a pat on the back.
She deserves it.
Wonder if that was like a reaction to all the stuff that was happening around her. Like, do you think maybe she felt more empowered to finally, you know, come out with strong lyrics being like, what the fuck? Like, I am Britney Spears. Like, who do you think you are trying to take my power away? Like, I wonder if that's why we're seeing, or maybe being a mother, you know, there's so many life changes that she's going through during this album that it just is such a different tenor.
I think that's a great observation. And it is funny how she had her like four biggest albums ever before this and never really did that for herself, you know?
She's a humble queen. So Jesse, I think I have to make an assumption about what your favorite track on Blackout is.
What's your assumption?
That it's this next one, When Should I Be Sad? Written by Pharrell Williams and produced by the Neptunes. Am I onto something here?
Yes. Why Should I Be Sad is my favorite, like one of my top two. I can't, it switches between this and Perfect Lover, but yes. And they're both like so different. But this song, I think that when Pharrell and Britney work together, it's magic.
Yeah. Oh, like Boys. What else are they on together?
Slave.
Oh my God. Like the my favorite song ever.
Yeah. Yes. Even if those other two songs weren't intended for her initially, I think that he was still super excited to work with her, and their like production chemistry together is out of this world. And this song is, it's a little bit different, you know, it's like the closest thing to a ballad I think that we get on the album. This album didn't need a ballad, but I think to get like something really mid-tempo and like introspective and still weird and fit the vibe was brilliant, especially like with the standard track list for this to close the album. I just think it makes so much sense. I don't think that the fandom gives this like enough love, because it's also really personal lyricism, even if Britney's not credited as a writer. Like, I mean, for this to be so clearly about Kevin, like, especially in the midst of everything happening with Kevin, like, it's wild to me that she didn't write this song. It just feels like she wrote this song. There's speculation that she didn't get some writing credits on this album that she deserved, and has happened to her multiple times and throughout her career. You know, we can't really prove that until we get, like, someone high profile to corroborate those claims. Her, maybe, in the book.
Please.
But this is such a Britney song. And so even if she didn't write it, like, this is her song and she really made it come to life.
It's so personal. Like you said, I always assumed she did write it. Like, there is a line where she talks about the secret.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about our angels, all the magazines trying to intervene, saying things in the gossip section. They'll get good guidance and be trained well. Yeah, don't worry. I'll keep our little secret. But I ask this question, why should I be sad? First of all, what the F is the secret? I need to know. Hopefully that's in the book. Second, I just feel like her and Pharrell must have been like very in tuned when he wrote this song. That's what I would say.
And, you know, like Carrie Hilson has talked about whenever they were collaborating with everything too, that they were just like going on MySpace and finding beats and just like hanging out and girling out together. And I imagine that there are moments where Britney probably like came in and did work and then had to leave because of everything happening. And then there are other moments where she probably like had more time or capacity or like needed this and was able to just like sit around with Carrie Hilson and look on MySpace for beats, you know?
What a fun mental image. Like Britney Spears looking at someone's MySpace.
I know these like up and coming producers, you know what I mean? Like that is so cool to me. And I just feel like Pharrell, even if he was the sole writer, like he had to have been talking to Britney, like what's going on for you right now? You know, like there had to be some sort of interaction, because you could like look from the outside in and like see a lot of what was going on for Britney and maybe have a perspective or a viewpoint. But this felt so deeply personal.
I think it's criminally underrated, and it's such an incredibly artistic way to wrap up the album. And now this album does have a couple bonus tracks, and we're running out of time, but there's a couple that I want to touch on because I believe they're also criminally underrated. And I think it's frankly illegal that they don't make the original cut, but is Get Back. I love Get Back. It's by Danger. I love this version of Britney. It's kind of like trancey. I hate that it's a bonus track. I feel like that could have fit in right there, like maybe even in place of Ooh Ooh Baby, right into the cohesiveness of the album.
I think that makes sense. Like, I could definitely see this replacing Ooh Ooh Baby. And I love Get Back too. I love this song. It's great in the gym. Yes. It's great in the gym. It's got like big production. It's very like bratty, but in a fun way, like it has a lot of attitude. And I fully agree. I think that this is a phenomenal track. And this isn't the first time that a bonus track has outshined an album track in Britney's career. Like the Britney album's bonus tracks are Chef's Kiss. And there's a noise that she makes in one of them. And it's like, oh, whoa. And anyway, I love it. I think that Britney bonus tracks are He About to Lose Me, Femme Fatale. Anyway, I could go on and on.
I mean, 911 is one of my favorite songs ever. She has so much that we didn't get. It's pretty remarkable. Everybody is another one. It samples the, I can't even say it,
Eurythmics.
Yeah. Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams. Everybody, come on, get some jumping. Everybody. We get Britney in her natural lower register. Everybody. You know, it's just like classic Britney. This one isn't my favorite. It's fine. It's good. It fits. As a bonus track, what are your thoughts on this one, Jesse? Is this one you would
scrap it?
Yeah, this one.
Get rid of it.
We don't need it. It's fine, but it's just not doing it for me. To wrap this up for a bonus track, I want to mention Out of This World, because more people need to know about this song and how freaking incredible and beautiful it is. It's another Danger production. That kind of surprised me a little bit. And God, I would just love to pick his brain. I'm sure he has so many stories. But this is one of my favorite Britney songs of all time. I can't listen to it anywhere except YouTube. Like, her voice is beautiful. Give me your hot take on this song.
Love it. And I think that a lot of fans love this song too.
Good.
And I agree. And I think because this one isn't as available, I don't listen to it as much as I should. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to now.
Oh, my God. I've inspired you. It's such a good song. Everybody, if stream Blackout and listen to Out of This World, you can YouTube it. That is the only way to get it, unless you're in Japan.
We need to bring burning CDs back. Wait, Mary, I'm going to Japan. Should I find it for
yes.
you?
Yes. Get me a Britney Blackout CD with the Japanese bonus
Jesse,
tracks.
Do you want one, too?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to Tokyo next month.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yes,
good
please.
For you.
I'm
also
literally adding it to my list of things to buy. Blackout, do you even have a CD player?
I will get one.
I'll figure it out.
We will get
that's
one.
That's what I miss about burning CDs. Like, you could download like a shoddy version of something and then listen to it whenever you wanted. I'm with you on the obscure YouTube songs. It's just not the same.
Hey, Kelsey, I have a one quick journey side quest for you whenever you go to Japan.
Yes.
Can you ask the citizens of Japan what they think about Gwen Stefani and the Harajuku Girls?
Ooh.
And also Avril Lavigne's Forgotten Hello Kitty music video? I need you to just ask them about that.
God, Avril Lavigne's Hello Kitty phase. So I will, absolutely. I will
Thank
do
you
a
so
poll.
Much. Poll them.
I'll bring my mini microphone.
Bring the mini mic.
I will stop everyone on the street. They'll think I'm the rudest person ever. I've heard that the Japanese culture is a very polite society.
Yes. Like, sir, I know that you are going to work or to provide for your family, but can you actually talk to me about Gwen Stefani?
Yes. That was wild. Like, how did we just, like, accept that?
I don't know.
Those were wild days. Different wild times, for
wild
sure.
times. But I'm serious. I will like try to find like a record store or something and find it for you guys. I think that would be funny.
I would love
I would
Japanese.
I'm touched.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Jesse, we've taken up so much of your time.
No,
we are
not at all.
So
this is so much fun, y'all. I'm telling you, I can talk forever and ever. And that's your polite Japanese way of saying like you can talk for so long.
No,
Jesse.
No. We love it.
We could talk to you all night long. We're just so grateful to have some of your time to chat through this amazing album and this amazing anniversary. Thank you so much for coming on. Please
no,
come
thank
back.
You
we yeah, want you to come back.
Come back.
The pleasure was mine. And thank you for dealing with all of the weird things that happened during our recording that you will edit out, but they will not
yes.
hear. But just know that they are saints for dealing with me having to plug my computer in and my internet going out. I'm sweating. Thank you so much.
And I know. This was so much fun. You're at Chambrezy, Chambrezy everywhere.
Z-E-Y, yes.
Mm-hmm. Z-E-Y. Spell that
yes,
for me
one more. A 12-year-old had taken like the way that you would spell Breezy years ago whenever I started my social media. And so it's C-H-A, M as in man, B as in boy, R-E-E-Z-E-Y.
Follow him on TikTok. I get my daily dose of information and giggles on there. So he is so much fun, Jesse, as a listener of your pod. It's amazing to have you on. And thank you again.
Much love.
Thanks, Jesse.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, wow. That was so much fun. How amazing is Jesse?
I could talk to him all day. I'm literally sweating in the closet because he's so funny. I feel like he had such thoughtful perspective on everything. And I loved watching your guys' chemistry together too, because obviously you guys know everything about Brittany. I feel like I learned so much.
Oh my God. I just felt like I was with a person who got me. And thank you for listening to us kind of ramble for however long this episode is going to be.
No, I loved every second of it. We want Jesse to come back on the pod.
Yes.
Because he's a delight.
Yes.
Speaking
of delights, we promised if you guys write us kind reviews on Apple Podcasts, we will read them on our episode. So this week we got an incredible one from GR Bush 82. It says, "This podcast is so refreshing and great to listen to. The thoughtfulness and information that each episode gives is outstanding. It really transports you back into the time with stories and movies and some great music. I look forward to listening every single week." Oh my goodness. I'm going to screenshot this and send it to my mom because that was a really nice freaking review. Thank you so much.
It keeps us going. It's really hard to come out with a new episode every single week. And
Mary,
our editing queen, puts in hours and hours and hours every single week. So it means so much to hear that positive reinforcement.
Thank you.
We love when you guys DM us at When They Popped Pod. Make sure you're following us there because we are going to have an emergency episode dropping later this week.
I think we said Tuesday night. We're going to drop it Tuesday night. We're getting Brittany's book a day early, The Woman and Me. And so I am going to take a day of PTO to freaking read this book cover to cover, answer any questions you might have, also fire off some hot revelations we might get. With what we got this week, we know that we are just skimming the surface. The tea is flowing. So look forward to an unedited, raw episode, I think Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. So you can know all the goss before everybody else.
So if you have any questions that you want Mary to answer on this episode, DM us at When They Popped Pod. We'll get them all answered in this emergency episode. So send them our way.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
The legendary Miss Britney Spears. And the unstoppable danger. You're gonna have to remove me, 'cause I ain't going nowhere.